For 15 years, my man Ren has been doing it. Different guests every week, and never know who. Special gifts and prizes for those in attendance. We always have a good time when we come through. Down at the spot we call the press box, where the drinks stay cold and the wings stay hot. It's the Player Show. Everybody clap your hands, and if you feel good, go get up and dance. Everybody's feeling good. It's all good vibes. My man Randy Harris about to take this thing live. Waterside Dental is proud to present the Monday Night Player Show, broadcasting live from the Press Box Sports Emporium for the 15th consecutive year with my main man, Randy Harris. Take it away, Randy.
Welcome to the Press Box Sports Emporium, another night of the Players Show. Let's welcome Todd Yoder.
Thank you.
So we're going to tell the same stories? Is that what we're going to do?
We're going to rerun the show from 20 years ago.
Nothing wrong with that. Monday Night Football, the Bucs getting ready to play in about an hour or so. Do you remember how many Monday nights you played?
I don't remember how many, but I do remember playing on Monday night and realizing that the worst part about playing in a Monday night game is you're stuck in the hotel all day long. And you're sitting there and you're like, what am I going to do for the 12 hours of the day before I actually got to go play? And then when you would fly back, if it was an away Monday night, like we played one in Minnesota, I do remember, early in my career. And I don't think you get back till 3 in the morning after playing the Monday night game.
How does it mess up your whole schedule? Not just being in the hotel, all day long, but it's typically you leave on Saturday. Now you're leaving on Sunday. Now you're not playing on Sunday. Do you watch the games?
Well, yeah, you get to watch the games on Sundays. It depends on your coach, too, because it throws off that practice schedule where maybe they want an extra day. Maybe they say, hey, guys, we're going to get an extra day of practice. And normally your body's kind of like so set on a routine. And then what it does is it shortens up the next week. Is then, are they going to give you, Tuesday you're going to watch film? Or are they going to give you Wednesday off? Or are they not? So it just really messes up not only that week's, but the following week's routine.
Typical of the show, we bounce all over the place. But as you're watching, and I know you're a football coach, and we'll get to that shortly, do you miss it?
I miss playing in front of the fans. I mean, there's something about playing in front of 60, 80, 100,000 people that there's nothing like it. Until you're there on that field and you hear those fans roar, like that part of the game, I miss. I miss the paycheck. And besides that, I don't miss the aches and pains. I don't miss waking up every morning sore. I miss the locker room time, though, with the guys. I mean, you're in there fighting with teammates, and you got that tight bond, and you really don't get that once you kind of go out in the real world.
Do you still stay in contact with many of those? We may get a phone call from one of your former teammates tonight.
That'd be awesome.
He's put on Facebook that he's calling, so we'll see, if it happens.
We'll see if he steps up.
Do you talk to many guys other than, obviously, Mike Allstott, who you still compete against, right?
Right. I do. I talk to, probably a handful of guys. And really, it's just more the guys that you were close with while you played. And, guys from the different teams. I mean, obviously, I played for two other teams besides Tampa. So I have friends kind of on each team that I still stay in touch with.
How come on Wikipedia, I think it's the Redskin picture?
I think that's the newest, most updated picture.
So do we need to change it, or just because it's the newest updated Mohawk picture?
I think it's probably because it's the Mohawk picture that everybody somehow, they're like, Coach, you used to have a mohawk? Yeah. They're like, why don't you wear it, all the time? I was like, I only did it, for select games. But in high school games, when I've rocked the mohawk as a coach, I'm actually undefeated.
Really?
But I might pick and choose which games I rock.
Oh, yeah, I understand. I understand. Very similar to Pete Rose and his gambling, where he was selective on what games.
You got to be selective on which games you want to wear.
I understand. Are you aware of what today is in history?
I'm not.
You're not aware of what happened on this day last year?
No.
Were you not in Indiana on this day last year?
Well, not on a Monday.
Well, this wouldn't have been a Monday.
Well, yeah, you're right. On the calendar. That's a good point.
Thank you. See, I'm trying to argue with a teacher, right. Which is going to be difficult.
Right.
Something Hall of Fame, Indiana.
Yeah, I might have got inducted into the Indiana Football Hall of Fame last year
on this date,
which was was a cool honor. It so happened that it was our bye week, and I got to go back and watch my high school team play for the first time in really since I've been in high school, because all through college, all through pros, and then even when I've been coaching, I've never actually been able to go back and see my high school play. And it was crazy about how much some things are still the same. You know, small town, Indiana, some things have changed. You know, like we've upgraded to 2 stoplights now.
Yeah.
You know,
now you have 3.
No, we had 1.
Well,
now
we
have to 2.
Okay.
So that was a little different. It was a little shocking. I wasn't prepared for
Yoder
that.
Yoder Boulevard yet? Or
no, I've been working on that one. My dad, as long as he's still working there, I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, that's why it should happen.
That's what I try to tell him.
You know, should be able to pull a string or two.
He, if you know my father, he's kind of humble like I am, where as long as he's working there, I don't think it'll happen. I think they should name the street after him. He's worked there a lot longer than I was a part of the program.
But if it's named Yoder Boulevard. It's
dual meaning.
Exactly. Then everybody, you know, gets the credit. You can say it's for your dad.
Right, exactly.
And your dad can say it's for you. And the truth will be it's for your mom.
There you go. I mean, can we talk about the new intro? I kind of like that.
Sure.
The new intro music today. I mean, when did you step up to that?
We have a music director.
Nice.
Who has been working and hasn't been here the last couple of weeks. But here, even though he's not here, I'll make you a promise.
Okay.
The next time you're on the show,
right,
you'll have your own intro.
Nice.
Okay.
I love it.
I will.
All right. I can't wait to meet him.
Okay.
You know, I mean,
and then we're going to make him feel bad that he didn't have your special open.
Here's the thing. You know, back when I used to do the show.
The Todd Yoder Show.
We never got that, like, cool intro like that. So, you know, we were missing out the whole time.
You know why we didn't have an intro like that? Kareem was 3.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
You know what I mean? So next time you're here, we'll make sure, you know, that he has the sweet. Let's talk about what's going on in your life real quick. You're coaching still.
Coaching high school ball over at Calvary Christian High School in Clearwater. Been over this my 5th year over there. Got promoted this year to be our athletic director. So a lot more work involved. Going through being in charge of our sports programs. Enjoying every minute of it. Loving it. Daughter's in 8th grade. Going to be in high school next year. That's a little scary. You know, I know you already went through that whole time.
It's not pretty.
Yeah. My middle son, Luke's playing soccer and football. And a little guy, Max, he's a handful. So you got to love the kids and the family.
Interesting. But, you know, the thing that will be bad for your daughter is dad's at the school. Dad has eyes. Dad has friends.
Yeah, I don't. It's going to be tough, you know, because I'm going to have football players that are going to want to date my daughter.
No, they won't.
And I'm the coach, and it's like, I don't know
that's
how
why,
that's going to work.
That's why
out.
They're not going to want to date your daughter.
I know, exactly, but I don't want to be that dad, but I want to be that dad.
Yeah, you do.
So it's tough, you know? So I'll see how I handle it next year. Next year when I do the show, you can ask me about how that's going.
Okay, and we will talk about that. Now, see, I kind of lied to my daughter when she was in high school, and you know, she went to Admiral Farragut, and I told her that I had friends and people that would call me all the time to tell me what's going on. And she believed it.
Right.
So she never did anything
spies,
wrong.
Spies. Spies in the
spies everywhere.
Yep.
She never dated in high school that I know of. Now, I know that she did, but she thinks that I don't know that she did.
I gotcha.
So it definitely was pretty interesting. Before we go to our first break, talk quickly about, you kind of have a side job as well. And we'll talk more about it, but kind of let everybody know what you do on Sundays.
Well, right now I am the official NFL uniform inspector for the Bucks. I actually cover the away team, though. So at the stadium, we have 2 inspectors, and I always do the away team, which I like because I only see them once a year.
Exactly.
That way the players on our side of the field don't hate me. The opposing team hates me, which is good.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I thought you did both, so I feel better now.
Yeah, so I'm good. I'm good with the Bucks guys. They don't, you know, they're fine with me. So every time when the away team comes in, I go out and inspect the uniforms and write the guys up for fines if they're breaking the rules.
And we'll talk more about that when we return. Coming to you live from the Press Box Sports Emporium for our 15th consecutive year, this is the Players Show.
What gourmet restaurant? restaurant features spicy taco, buffalo blue cheese, garlic parm, caramel apple pie, and much more, chef-inspired popcorn would be that place. That's right, chef-inspired popcorn. Located in Tampa at 7004 Hanley Road. Check them out at cipopcorn.com for more flavors, where they can work with you to come up with your very personal flavor. It's not just popcorn, it's chef-inspired. Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
Physical Chiropractic of Tampa Bay, treating Olympians, actors, news anchors, reporters, reality TV stars, weekend warriors, and now delivering the same famous care to local residents at local prices. Physical Chiropractic of Tampa Bay created Tampa Cryo, the first cryotherapy location in Tampa. Give us a call at 813-207-5027. We are conveniently located at 1155 South Dale Mabry, Suite number 8, Tampa Cryo, treating every patient like a professional athlete. Come see Dr. Thomas Reed, the team chiropractor of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Holy Hog Barbecue, with convenient locations in South Tampa, West Tampa, Carrollwood, downtown Tampa, and inside the Amalie Arena, continues to dominate the Tampa Bay barbecue scene, winning the Mayor's Mac and Cheese Throwdown for the third year in a row. Dine in, carry out, or take advantage of the Holy Hog catering, from picnics to corporate events and weddings to game day parties. No event is too big or small. Call 844-HOLY-HOG or go online at holyhogbarbecue.com. From brisket and burnt ends to pulled pork and chicken, and the best sides you'll ever enjoy, Holy Hog Barbecue, your hometown smokehouse.
Hyde Park Massage and Spa, the official massage and spa of the Players Show, can help you in your athletic aspirations. Whether you are a runner, jogger, triathlete, gym rat, weekend warrior, or you just want to feel better, their sports massage will do just that. The experts at Hyde Park Massage and Spa will help you flush out the toxins in your body and help with your recovery. Give them a call at 813-254-4777 to schedule a massage, or you can visit www.hydeparkmassageandspa.com. The weekly guest on the Players Show will be headed to Hyde Park Massage and Spa. Shouldn't you?
The Press Box Sports Emporium is Tampa's favorite place to watch the big game. Known for their chicken wings and the best burgers in town, the Press Box also features a full menu, daily happy hours and specials, and of course a special menu for the kids. Check out the new 12 draft system, or the boxing, or WWE pay-per-view parties. Go to PressBoxSports.com for more information and money-saving coupons. Proudly serving South Tampa for over 20 years, the Press Box Sports Emporium at 222 South Dale Mabry in Tampa.
Hi, this is Keenan McCardell, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we are back, coming to you live from the Press Box Sports Emporium. Getting ready for Monday Night Football. Turn that up a little. The Buccaneers. What's your thoughts on tonight's game?
You know, I'm thinking the Bucs are going to have a great game this week. I just got a good feeling about it.
I do, too. I have a strange feeling.
It's just weird. It's like, you know, when they played game one and they played so well, and then they had kind of a little bit of a slump, and then now they're making a little bit of a comeback. I think tonight's going to be their night.
You know, injuries, a lot of Sims, I guess, was just put on the IR. How much does that affect the game? You know, now we know Cam Newton's not playing, but the backup has beat the Bucs not once but twice. So I think, and again, you correct me as a player, that sometimes when there's an injury, that brings an entirely different team out there and guys that are trying to prove something. Yes?
Yes, no, definitely. You know, when you have people that get hurt, obviously everybody's trying to make a name for themselves to get playing time. It's a competitive situation, so people go at it.
I did forget, for coming on, we have a couple gifts for you. I always like to give it coming out of the break, but I forgot. To start with, this is either one for you and one for your wife, or both for your wife. Complimentary platinum full-service car washes from Mr. Car Wash.
Nice.
So depending on who ends up with that is between you and obviously the family.
Well, hopefully my wife maybe not see these.
Not listen. We're going to also give away a gift certificate, and I'd prefer if people guess and not jump on Google. Now, how we're going to know that people don't jump on Google, I don't know. But we'll give a gift certificate away to the first person who, I guess, comes up. Like a scream, I really can't, unless you guys want to judge who's going to scream this. Something special about your first collegiate catch. See, I even did some research today.
You probably had to go deep to find that information. So maybe the team that it was against?
What was special about it and the team that it was against? All right. Well, somebody got half of it right.
There was somebody.
All right. I don't know who said that, but
right over there.
Okay. And then it was something special about it, right?
Yeah.
Or did we give it to them because they said Notre Dame?
All right,
they said Notre Dame, so they get it.
Right.
But talk about what it was.
My first collegiate catch was actually a 50-yard touchdown against Notre Dame. It actually put us up in the game, I think by one, in a Thursday night game. So Thursday night, ESPN, first game of my life, first touchdown catch from a guy that grew up in Indiana watching Notre Dame football. To be able to catch the ball against them, it was a pretty big deal.
It was pretty special.
I think everybody back home, that kind of put me on the map. And even at Vandy, 3 years later, hey, you're the guy that caught the touchdown against Notre Dame. Yep, that's me.
So did you think after that happened, kind of like when guys come to the NFL and in 02, you come to the Bucks in, not you, but I'm saying you come to the Bucks in 02, you win the Super Bowl, you're like, oh, this is easy. So did you figure you were going to end like with 7,000 touchdowns? Come on, first catch.
I honestly, I felt pretty lucky. I mean, if you actually know the catch, if you see it, it was literally me jumping up in the middle between three dudes and somehow catching the ball between three guys and coming down in the end zone. I don't want to say it was luck, but,
it was talent.
Talent, luck, whatever. But my point is I knew that was one of those things that's not going to happen much.
Then you come to Tampa. Talk about what that was like, if we can remember that far back, because it was a few years ago, coming from Vandy, coming here to Tampa and making this team.
Well, it was a tough road for me. I wasn't drafted. I went into training camp as a seventh tight end on the roster, and I had to earn it. I had to work my way through it. Thank goodness I could play special teams. I came into camp and knew from very early that if I wanted to make that team, I had to prove myself on special teams. And that's the reason I made the team. The sole reason I made the roster was because my ability to play special teams. And that's what kept me in the league for 10 years. And that's what I kind of got known for, as a backup tight end that could do a little bit of everything, play fullback, play tight end, and play every kind of special teams there were.
When you first came here and there was that many tight ends and you're hoping to make the team, but do you remember thinking, I'm going to make this team? Are you thinking, I hope I make this team? Are you thinking, I wonder what I'm going to do if I don't make this team and where I'm going to go and what I'm going to do? Or,
I think after the first preseason game, I felt like I got a chance. And the reason was, in the first preseason game, I don't know if you remember, I actually caught the game-winning touchdown against the Redskins, believe it or not.
Wow.
It was Joe,
how ironic.
Joe Hamilton to Todd Yoder back in the day.
Right.
But I made it, maybe a couple special teams tackles, made some catches, and caught the winning touchdown. So once I did that, I was like, if I keep doing this, I think I got a chance to make this roster.
What was the biggest difference? I'm trying to come up with stuff we haven't talked about each and every year. Yeah. But I'm sure some of the people that have been to every one of these shows will know if I've brought this up before. What was some of the differences between here and Jacksonville and then Washington?
Well, I think every staff is different. Every coach that you play for has got a little different style. Practices are a little bit different. Obviously, I think part of the difference here is the fan base. I love the Tampa fans. In Jacksonville, it's weird. It was more of a laid-back college kind of environment. The fans weren't into it as much. Our stadium with the pirate ship and just the vibe was great. In Washington, it felt very Snyder made it kind of, it was weird. It was more like a business. You're showing up for business. And it was big business in Washington. 80,000 seat stadium, sell out, you know, all the traffic in D.C. It felt more like a job. And at that point in my career, it was. I mean, basically, I was just trying to finish out. But in Tampa, I was young. It was fun. We won the Super Bowl. I mean, there's so many things about Tampa that I love. And we fell in love with this area. And that's the main reason we moved back. I have so many friends and people that we met that we just love Tampa. So when I got the chance to retire, I told my wife, I'm like, we're going back to Tampa. And we came back.
I'll ask you, but I want to throw something out real quick before I forget. But I already forgot. See how quick, that quick, I'm trying to save two things. Facilities. Talk about the difference of the three facilities. See, it just came back. And as you're talking about moving back here, I remember you and I having a discussion and you telling me that you had bought a house in New Jersey. And I was upset because I'm like, you mean you're not going to move back here? You're going to live in New Jersey? Why? So glad to have you back, obviously.
Right. Well, I mean, my wife is from New Jersey. You know, her whole dream was like, let's go back. We moved there in two off seasons when I was still in Washington and she hated it. And I was like, well, why are you going to be miserable? Like, we're going back to Tampa. And she loves every minute of it back down here. Facilities-wise.
And I tried to tell you that beforehand because you're not from New Jersey. I'm like, why do you want to go to New Jersey?
See, I'm pretty easygoing. Like, you right. Put me anywhere and I'm fine. But I'm like, if I'm moving back home for you and you're still not happy, then let's go someplace where we both can be happy.
Right, for sure.
Which worked out for us. No, I mean, the old Buccaneers facility was, it was bad. I mean, I think we had rats that had nicknames, you know, and the rats were more
That's
like...
That's a true story. It's a true story.
The rats were more like cats. They were big and furry. But no, I mean, it was a trailer park city. That's the best way I can describe it. They took a trailer, attached to a trailer, attached to another trailer, attached to another, and that was their expansion plan. And but the one thing about it was, is like, it was almost like a small little family thing. You know, now at the new facility, it's amazing. It's beautiful. It's all this. But I feel like it's a maze over there where you don't even know whose office is where and everything. You could get lost. You know, the old place, I mean, all you had to do was shout.
You can't get lost.
Yeah, you couldn't get lost. You shout, and the guy three trailers over can hear you shouting, so you know he's there. You know, and Washington's facility was bigger and nicer. But, you know, I miss the old, you know, the old Bucks place where, you know, it's right there on the airport runway. Yep. You got planes taking in off in and out all practice. I mean, we used to have to shut practice down for 2 minutes while the plane would take off if the coach wanted to talk because he wasn't out talking the jet airplane.
The parking garage to the left and fans would go up there.
That was our indoor practice facility.
Was it really?
Yeah, we used to go up there on like the fifth floor if it was raining and we'd actually walk through place.
See, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
I used to compare it to a lot like Rocky Balboa, you know, the Rocky Balboa movie, in that when Rocky went out to L.A. to train and they put him in this beautiful mansion and Apollo's like, no, we got to go old school. And that's what I kind of think of both of those facilities, old school and obviously new school.
Yeah, no, it was definitely old school. We used to have a half a weight room inside and then a half a weight room outside. So you'd be lifting weights in 90-something degree heat, like slipping off the benches, you know. And I won't name names, but we had a certain employee or two that used to have smoke breaks down on the end of the weight room, right? So you'd be in there like trying to pump iron and they're blowing smoke right down. And it's so small, like it's literally like they're blowing smoke in your face right in the middle of the workout.
Nothing
and
you could do about
it. Just loved every minute of it back then.
All right, before we hit this break, something very important to me, so I'll bring it up food-wise. Who had the best food? Old school Bucks? Because, you know, that was unbelievable with Jose. Jacksonville and then Washington.
Oh, you got to go with Jose, man. You know, Jose was the best because Jose actually had to cook it off-site, truck it in, right? We used to set it in the hallway.
Yeah.
You know, because and literally, like, there was about this much room to get by it. And then you used to eat in your locker, which was literally, like, wood like this, right? And
On a stool.
And you just sit there and eat. I mean, it was great.
And from a total selfish standpoint, back in the day, the media was allowed to eat there as well, where we can't do it anymore, and I don't know if any team even does it. But back in the day, we would get in the line.
That was the lunch. Like, you guys used to come in post-lunch, and you would catch and talk to whoever you wanted to talk to. I mean, I remember times where we'd sit down in the what we called the ghetto corner. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah.
Like, so the way the locker room was kind of, like, distributed, you kind of had your high-rent district. Then you had, like, your superstars. you had to kind of like.
I like how you're describing it because that's Sapp and those guys were over here, and that was Chidi.
Workers' man section, and then you had like the ghetto, and it was like me, T. Washington, some of the guys down in the hood. We were in the low rent district. In other words, we could be fired at any time, any place. And they rotated. That corner was like the rotation spot. Anybody that got fired got stuck in that corner because they knew you weren't going to stay there long. I lasted 4 years down there. So
you would have thought they would have moved you up into another neighborhood.
Well, you know, I kind of stuck to my roots. That's the way I am. Right. I'm not moving. That's my spot. I'm going to make it my own.
Beautiful. All right, let's go hit another break. Coming to you live from the Press Box Sports Emporium.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Hyde Park Massage and Spa, the official massage and spa of the Players Show, can help you in your athletic aspirations. Whether you are a runner, jogger, triathlete, gym rat, weekend warrior, or you just want to feel better, their sports massage will do just that. The experts at Hyde Park Massage and Spa will help you flush out the toxins in your body and help with your recovery. Give them a call at 813-254-4777 to schedule a massage, or you can visit www.hydeparkmassageandspa.com. The weekly guest on the Players Show will be headed to Hyde Park Massage and Spa. Shouldn't you?
Physical Chiropractic of Tampa Bay, treating Olympians, actors, news anchors, reporters, reality TV stars, weekend warriors, and now delivering the same famous care to local residents at local prices. Physical Chiropractic of Tampa Bay created Tampa Cryo, the first cryotherapy location in Tampa. Give us a call at 813-207-5027. We are conveniently located at 1155 South Dale Mabry, Suite number 8, Tampa Cryo, treating every patient like a professional athlete. Come see Dr. Thomas Reed, the team chiropractor of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Holy Hog Barbecue with convenient locations in South Tampa, West Tampa, Carrollwood, downtown Tampa, and inside the Amalie Arena continues to dominate the Tampa Bay barbecue scene, winning the Mayor's Mac and Cheese Throwdown for the third year in a row. Dine in, carry out, or take advantage of the Holy Hog catering from picnics to corporate events and weddings to game day parties. No event is too big or small. Call 844-HOLY-HOG or go online at holyhogbarbecue.com. From brisket and burnt ends to pulled pork and chicken and the best sides you'll ever enjoy. Holy Hog Barbecue, your hometown smokehouse.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
Check out our friends at West Chase Golf Club, just north of the airport off the Veteran Expressway, for a beautiful and challenging course. I've been out there many times and the greens are great. Quiet, upscale, but very public, West Chase is consistently ranked in the top 10 nationally and number one in the state of Florida for customer service by the National Golf Foundation. Ask about the Advantage Card, just $25 for Florida residents, and you'll get up to 40% off your greens fees, free use of the GPS system, and a bunch more. Log on to westchasegc.com for more. West Chase Golf Club. It's not private. You'll just think it is.
The Press Box Sports Emporium is Tampa's favorite place to watch the big game. Known for their chicken wings and the best burgers in town, the Press Box also features a full menu, daily happy hours and specials, and of course a special menu for the kids. Check out the new 12 draft system, or the boxing, or WWE pay-per-view parties. Go to PressBoxSports.com for more information and money-saving coupons. Proudly serving South Tampa for over 20 years. The Press Box Sports Emporium at 222 South Dale Mabry in Tampa.
Hey, folks, John Madden here, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris. I mean, I love this guy.
One, two, three, four.
One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four.
Brian, that was Caliendo bringing us back. I'm going to ask about John Gruden because it just makes sense. But first, we have a couple gift certificates for you to go and enjoy some barbecue at Holy Hog.
Nice, so, thank you.
Awesome place there. So go check that out. Talk to us about John Gruden. Could he yell at you and you not laugh?
Well, yeah, because he was my coach.
Well, I know, but he still had to laugh sometimes.
Not like Adam, but, you know, maybe afterwards. No, I mean, you know, the thing that Gruden did when he came in and took over is he was kind of the spark plug. You know, you had guys that were there that I think were comfortable, right? And we added a few pieces to the puzzle. You had Keenan, you had Jervicious. You know, we add, I think, was that Pittman's first
word? Yeah, I think Pitt came
so, too. Hey, we had a couple offensive linemen, Roman, Kerry Jenkins, those types. And then all of a sudden, boom, you put the spark plug in it, and it was like a powder keg. It went off. And, you know, that whole season was just unbelievable. And then for us to ride through the playoffs and when we get to the Super Bowl to play what I envisioned to be almost a perfect game. Like, I don't think you could play a Super Bowl better than the way our defense played at that game.
All right, so people want us to go back to your Sunday job and what that entails and all that. So I'm going to ask you a question, and then you can either answer that question or we can talk about the uniform policy and what you're doing.
Okay.
Okay. We hear, fans talk about it all the time. That 2002 team was either Tony Dungy's or John Gruden's. Have you heard that? People
yeah,
say that's
heard,
Tony's team.
I've heard that argument.
Okay. Give me your thoughts or we can talk uniform.
I mean, let's talk about that team.
All right.
I believe that was Tony's team with Gruden calling the plays because he was our offensive coordinator. You know what I mean? And he, like I said, he was the right spark at the right time for that team. Because you look at what happened next year, right? And next year when it's Gruden's team, because we start shuffling personnel around and, you know, not as successful. So, you know, it was a magical mix of everything falling in a line that one year.
And I've always answered it the opposite only because of the names that you mentioned. Because what happened in 01 and then Gruden comes and he brings those names that you said, you don't win
right.
without those six or eight guys.
Right, but here's the thing, though. That was still Rich McKay bringing those guys
so
in.
So it's Rich McKay's team.
Well, we can look at it a lot
of different. We can say that way.
To be honest with you, I think it was that player's team. You know, I mean, it's our team. I mean, now, granted, whoever brought us a line, but all those guys gelled that one year. You know, the next year, some of those guys go. We get three or four guys get hurt. Allstott gets hurt. Jervicious gets hurt. I think McFarland might have got hurt that next year.
Yeah, I think he did.
You know, you start losing guys that are the core of that team, and we're not the same team. You know, so, and that's why that next year we weren't as successful.
Have you ever, obviously not the Super Bowl part, but sensed a locker room like that team in 02? And again, I've been in the locker room since the 80s, and I've never kind of felt it, but I'm not there 24/7, you know, like players are.
I never had that gelling except for the year that we were in Washington with the Redskins and Sean Taylor, who was on our team. Passed away tragically, and there was a certain gelling around that tragedy that happened, and we had to win four games in a row to make the playoffs, and we gelled as a unit. We won four games and we made the playoffs, and I've never, like, that would probably be the closest second
to that.
Of that gel, you know, of that Super Bowl team.
I want to go and obviously talk about Oakland in San Diego. We'll do that in a second. I've brought it up a few times. I've had people come up. Go back to talking about, you know, this uniform thing. What do you have to do? What does it entail? What are you looking for? You've just told me that some interesting stuff as well, that, you know, guys change so often that sometimes it's a longer job than I thought.
Right. The you know, the NFL sets the dress code policy, and they want the socks a certain way. They want the towels a certain length. They want, you know, certain wristbands. They don't want an unauthorized shoe dealer like Puma or one of the other companies to be able to be out on that field because they're protecting their licensing. So players will come out in different stuff, and you take a picture of it, you write them up, and then they have the ability to go change. Well, when they go in it before the game and pregame and they change out of it, then the NFL might not find them. But then what happens is some of the starters who know kind of the drill, they go in and actually put different stuff on after warming up and come back in the first quarter and something else. Then you got to write them up, and then at halftime they might change out. So it's a game of cat and mouse. I mean, a lot of the guys know what we're looking for, and they know kind of how to try to sneak stuff by, and they're always on the edge. And I don't understand it. You know, if the sock's supposed to be white and red on top, why do you want it to be red, white, just to stand out? It's a sock. But some of these guys, they don't care, and they're going to do it their way, and they're going to pay the fine for it.
And a couple of the guys that have been wearing different shoes, and I know one of the players wears shoes with his kids on it, and he said, it's only $15,000. And I'm like, what?
No,
it must be nice.
Here's the thing that all of them, and I want to smack all of them when I ride them up, is go work a regular job like I've had to do for the last 5 years, and you would pray to get that $15,000 back, you know, or whatever that fine is. So, you know, their reality right now is they're not thinking 10, 20 years ahead. Yeah. And it's tough. I mean, you're a 24-year-old kid, and you've got more money than you know what to do with, and you think it's always going to be there. And once it's gone, it's a little bit of a reality check.
We had an alumni player here a couple years ago, and I bring it up quite often. We talked, and I said, you know, what do you do now? And he said, nothing. I said, well, are you? No, I don't. Nothing. I do nothing. He said, I was taught when I came into the NFL to live like I'm not in the NFL, so that when I'm not in the NFL, I can live like I'm in the NFL. And I'm like, that made a lot of sense. I know back in the day in the old, you know, $1, they had people come in and do all these different things and teach you guys, you know, stuff like that. So it was a great line.
No, that is a great line, and I never really actually heard that, so I might have to use that sometime.
See, it's a good one, right?
Yeah.
All right, some questions from the audience. Well, no, I want to ask you this one first. There's a poll that's going on Facebook, and I believe it's up to 85% of the people that have voted believe the Ohio State Buckeyes could beat the Cleveland Browns. Now, as a player that's played college and pros, I mean, I have my opinion, but I've never played. Could that ever happen, or could it happen on a semi-regular basis?
I'm going to say no chance. Throughout the league, even the worst team in the league is a collection of the best collegiate players. And not only that, it's they're men. You know, and 18, 19-year-old kids that are fresh out of high school that are stars in college, there's no way that they would hang, you know.
Could they win a game if they played 10 times?
I
don't think so, but again, I don't know what the, you know, how big the jump is, and I know we've talked about it, and I've talked about it with plenty of players, how big the jump is from high school to college and then college to the pros.
I mean, from a speed standpoint, I think that they could be in the game, but from a coaching skill, game plan, and the execution part of it, I would bet on the NFL team every time.
And I know back in the day, even probably before you were born, they used to have a college all-star team play the Super Bowl team. But again, it's like an exhibition, so it's not like a real game. You know, does everybody go 100%?
Right. I mean, before they had, you know, parity in the league and you had some teams that were really bad, maybe one of the best college teams could have beat them. But, you know, nowadays with all the teams having kind of equal drafts and everything else, I just don't see it happening.
Where do you stand on Tom Brady, that whole deal, what happened to him, and now that he's back? He had an awful game yesterday.
Right. I mean, you know, he's one of the best quarterbacks ever. You know, it's kind of, whether it's his fault or not, you know, which still remains to be seen, whether it's the equipment guy doing it or his fault or whether it was the cold, I don't know. You know, he's one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game. And I think he'll come back, you know, here in a couple of weeks and hopefully play better.
No, he was awesome yesterday. I don't know if you saw the game.
Sure. I know. But, no, the thing is with Tom is, you know, he's one of the best.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I don't think that will tarnish his image. You know what I mean? It's not like he was doing steroids. It's not like he was really cheating. I mean, it's ball deflation.
Like, right.
Really? Come on.
Which is totally crazy. All right, so you're a high school football coach. Tom Brady got the job because Drew Bledsoe got hurt. Romo's due to come back in a couple weeks. As a high school football coach, or if you were the coach of the Dallas Cowboys, do you make that change? Prescott's playing.
Here's the thing. I've never been a huge Tony Romo fan, okay? And I probably don't make the change.
I think anybody that's not Jerry Jones doesn't make it. But, you know, loyalty and all that kind of stuff. But how do you make that change? It's about winning. It's about going to the playoffs. It's about winning the Super Bowl.
For me, like I said, I mean, even when Romo, we played him, you know, in my last 4 years in Washington, and he never impressed me. Like, you would watch him play. You would watch certain quarterbacks play. When you watch Peyton Manning play, sometimes you couldn't help yourself with just standing there and watching the guy. And he just would execute and make you look bad, and you're like, that guy's good. Tom Brady had just an air about him where you're like, that guy's good. Tony Romo, you're just like, it was okay. Like, he just never really impressed me. Like, I was never scared at the end of the game when Tony Romo has the ball.
Really?
You know what I mean? As opposed to, you know, all right, we just scored, but Peyton Manning's got the ball. You're like, this dude's going to beat us.
Right.
You know what I mean? You just had that gut feeling.
Who were some of the quarterbacks, you know, that stuck out that you played with? Not just here in Tampa, but in Jacksonville and Washington.
I mean, really, Mark Brunell, who I played with in Washington, even though he was on the tail end of his career, he threw one of the best deep balls that I've ever seen. And I would have loved to actually play with him kind of more in his prime. Brad Johnson was just a gutsy quarterback. I mean, I love playing with Brad. Brad probably had one of the weaker arms, but he was smart. And he managed the game, and he won us a Super Bowl.
All right, we are here to watch Monday Night Football in about a half an hour, so this question is kind of important. Pat wants to know, how often do you wear that ring that you got back in 02?
I would say probably 3 to 4 times a year.
Really?
Yeah, and it would be for certain events, whether it be at school or maybe a fundraiser type thing that I'm doing. But I don't wear it out and about much.
Would it make more sense than to, when you win a Super Bowl, to not get that type of ring for a Super Bowl so you would wear it more often?
No.
Really?
Because when you do wear it, everybody in the room knows what it is.
Well, you could get like a WWE championship belt instead, because then it'd be the same thing.
No. I mean, I love the ring. I mean, I don't care if you're wearing it walking through the airport. I don't care if you're wearing it out. Every single person stops. It's like, what's that? What, you know, is that a Super Bowl ring? And then this starts the conversation.
Interesting. All right, another question from the audience. How do you think the NFL should deal with concussions? And it obviously has gotten better.
Now, it's much improved. You know, the fact that they have a guy that's just watching them, watching if you get dazed or whatever, is definitely improved. The helmet technology is so much better. And the nice thing is the helmet technology has trickled down even to the youth kids now. My son, as a sixth grader, plays in a better helmet than I played in the NFL. So it's trickled all the way down. So, you know, I think they're doing the right things with the illegal hits and everything. And they're making the game safer. And as long as they can make the game safer, then guys will continue to play.
That all may be true, but did you watch the Panthers Week 1 against Denver? And how many hits Cam Newton took?
Right.
Somebody missed about 8 hits. So I like that they are cleaning it up, obviously. I've talked to so many alumni players who don't even remember playing. That's how bad they'd get beat up and concussions and such. So, I mean, you're never going to get it 100%, but it is getting better. All right. When did you start practicing your autograph?
College. I think in college we had a couple of autograph sessions where signing for fans, and that's when you start, like, you know, mine's not that impressive, but you know, it's kind of the way I write. You know, I've seen some guys that have like this huge swooping thing and you can't even tell what it is.
Has it changed since college?
No, same one, just changed the number. It doesn't matter, you know, whatever team I went for, I got different numbers, so whatever I sign, I try to, you know, sign that number for people.
So I'm sure that you're glad that, A, you're not a tattoo guy, and, B, you didn't tattoo your number when you were here in Tampa.
Right. I mean, I would have had to change it, you know, 3 times.
A couple times. So that wouldn't have been good. All right. You just got a little bit of food, so we're going to go hit another quick break. Coming to you live from the Press Box Sports Emporium, hanging out with Todd Yoder.
Gourmet restaurant features spicy taco, buffalo blue cheese, garlic parm, Carmel apple pie, and much more, chef-inspired popcorn would be that place. That's right, chef-inspired popcorn. Located in Tampa at 7004 Hanley Road. Check them out at cipopcorn.com for more flavors, where they can work with you to come up with your very personal flavor. It's not just popcorn, it's chef-inspired.
Hyde Park Massage and Spa, the official massage and spa of the Players Show, can help you in your athletic aspirations. Whether you are a runner, jogger, triathlete, gym rat, weekend warrior, or you just want to feel better, their sports massage will do just that. The experts at Hyde Park Massage and Spa will help you flush out the toxins in your body and help with your recovery. Give them a call at 813-254-4777 to schedule a massage, or you can visit www.hydeparkmassageandspa.com. The weekly guest on the Players Show will be headed to Hyde Park Massage and Spa. Shouldn't you?
Physical Chiropractic of Tampa Bay, treating Olympians, actors, news anchors, reporters, reality TV stars, weekend warriors, and now delivering the same famous care to local residents at local prices. Physical Chiropractic of Tampa Bay created Tampa Cryo, the first cryotherapy location in Tampa. Give us a call at 813-207-5027. We are conveniently located at 1155 South Dale Mabry, Suite number 8, Tampa Cryo, treating every patient like a professional athlete. Come see Dr. Thomas Reed, the team chiropractor of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Holy Hog Barbecue, with convenient locations in South Tampa, West Tampa, Carrollwood, downtown Tampa, and inside the Amalie Arena, continues to dominate the Tampa Bay barbecue scene, winning the Mayor's Mac and Cheese Throwdown for the third year in a row. Dine in, carry out, or take advantage of the Holy Hog catering, from picnics to corporate events and weddings to game day parties. No event is too big or small. Call 844-HOLY-HOG or go online at holyhogbarbecue.com. From brisket and burnt ends to pulled pork and chicken, and the best sides you'll ever enjoy, Holy Hog Barbecue, your hometown smokehouse.
Check out our friends at West Chase Golf Club, just north of the airport off the Veteran Expressway, for a beautiful and challenging course. I've been out there many times, and the greens are great. Quiet, upscale, but very public, West Chase is consistently ranked in the top 10 nationally and number 1 in the state of Florida for customer service by the National Golf Foundation. Ask about the Advantage Card. Just $25 for Florida residents, and you'll get up to 40% off your greens fees, free use of the GPS system, and a bunch more. Log on to westchasegc.com for more. West Chase Golf Club. It's not private. You'll just think it is.
The Press Box Sports Emporium is Tampa's favorite place to watch the big game. Known for their chicken wings and the best burgers in town, the Press Box also features a full menu, daily happy hours and specials, and of course a special menu for the kids. Check out the new 12 draft system, or the boxing, or WWE pay-per-view parties. Go to PressBoxSports.com for more information and money-saving coupons. Proudly serving South Tampa for over 20 years, the PressBox Sports Emporium at 222 South Dale Mabry in Tampa.
Hi, this is Mike Alsat from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we are back. Final segment coming to you live from the PressBox Sports Emporium for the Players Show. Hanging out with Super Bowl champ, still got to be awesome to hear that all the time, Todd Yoder. For you and or your wife, or both for your wife, two gift certificates to Hyde Park Massage and Spa.
Thank you.
So I hope she enjoys both massages.
Yes, she will.
All right, some more questions from the audience. And I'm thinking, how do I want to be funny on this? So I may just stay away from it. The question is, you graduated college with a degree in chemistry. If you were not involved in football, what would you be doing? I was going to ask, have you seen the TV show Dexter?
Yeah, that wouldn't be me.
Wouldn't? Well, I know it wouldn't. No, probably obviously wasn't funny either, but.
Yeah. No, we, when
thanks,
I,
everybody. Appreciate it.
When I went to try out for the Bucs, I actually had two job offers. One at Merck, which is a chemical company, and the other was Pfizer, is a drug company, working in their lab. So it was like we had a job placement career thing, and I got through all that and got job offers, but I told him, I said, hey, I'm gonna go try out for the Bucks. So would I'd have probably been doing that.
Would you have made more money doing that? Now, I know you made great money in the NFL, but that's good money on that too.
Well, now, yeah, I would. I mean, over the long haul of the, you know, what I would potentially be making now, yes. No, it was funny because, you know, in the break there, you mentioned a little funny story about, you know, like paychecks. And in the year that Keyshawn came to the Bucks, we gave him a crazy, you know, signing bonus and everything else. And the one day, you know, after we're getting our paychecks, and back then they'd actually hand them out to you. And that was before direct deposit. So you actually got a check. And he grabbed mine, opened it, and looked at it, kind of gives it back. He was like, that ain't nothing, rookie, or whatever. And gives me his. And, you know, I think the check was like $400,000 for one paycheck. And I was thinking to myself, I was like, wow, that's, I think that year my contract was for like $225,000. You know, so after taxes, it was like, you know, whatever you're making. And I'm thinking, like, that was his check after taxes. It was crazy.
And I think that was for like two games.
Yeah, two game check.
All right, that's Kareem, who's going to make your open next time. All right,
Kareem,
so
what's happening,
loves your open, so he wants to make sure he gets his own next time. So we'll have to get that done, all right? So 400 grand, so he's making 200 grand a game.
Yes, basically, yeah, for that season, which was basically what I made for the whole season.
For the whole
season. And he wanted to let me know that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, which he did.
Kind of rubbed it in. All right, worst stadium you ever played in and why?
Probably the Old Vet. I hated playing there. It was nasty. It was just disgusting. The fans there, the Eagles fans, might have been some of the worst fans to play for. Although we did shut it down by winning.
Yes.
And then we did open the new stadium by winning there too.
Yeah.
So, you know, which Sylvester Stallone, Rocky,
was there
doing doing the lifting of the flag. Or
yeah, he was over on the left side of the press box. I remember it like it was yesterday. How much more did that – I mean, not that it could have taken anything to make that game even more special because now you're going to San Diego in the Super Bowl, but it being against Philadelphia, it being against those fans that Nate Webster and Dwight Smith have told me on numerous occasions, they almost went in the stands on many times.
Right. No, it felt so good. I mean, I think we lost to them maybe four times previous.
Leading up to.
I mean, it was a bad streak up there. Cold weather game, all the different things. And to go up there and win, those fans, you could hear a pin drop in that stadium when Rondé picked the ball off. Because they knew, they're like, this game is over. And nobody said anything.
Do you remember your thoughts as that game was ending? I mean, obviously, you're now going to the Super Bowl. What were you thinking?
Oh, when he picked the ball off, we were all like, we're going to the Super Bowl. We're going to, like, even as he's running it back, you know, because we knew as soon as he picked it, we're like, we're going. So, I mean, that was just to watch that whole thing play out. It was almost like slow motion when it really hits you, like, we're going to the Super Bowl.
And literally, you came home and then went straight to San Diego.
Yeah, back then, there wasn't a bye week.
Right.
We hit the ground and they said, all right, you guys got till noon. Go get your stuff, and we're leaving. So it was that quick a turnaround to get back out there.
I remember calling my wife and saying, all right, the Bucks won. They beat the Eagles. I'm coming home. But do me a favor. Pack me some luggage because I'm leaving in the morning to San Diego because it was media day like the very next day.
Yeah, we flew out, and the night we got out there, John Lynch invited some of us over to his parents' house. We had a dinner with him. The next day was media day, I think, for us.
Yeah, it was. One of the, other than the game, obviously, what do you remember most about Super Bowl there in San Diego?
Probably the after party, you know? I mean, to be able to hang out with your teammates and just celebrate with your coaches and your family. Something that, you know, you've worked that hard for that long to finally win. You know, in high school, I never won a state title. In college at Vanderbilt, we were awful. We never even made a bowl game. And then to finally get in the pros and win a Super Bowl, to win a championship, I mean, that was, you know, 10, 12 years of my life working towards that point. And that was just a highlight of my career.
It's probably my most favorite day of the 30-some years I've been doing radio. And I think it's because I got to know so many players, you know, and the story that I tell all the time, and I know you two are tired of hearing this, I remember being in the locker room talking to you. You know, we're talking about the Super Bowl, having a good time, as Nate Webster is naked being interviewed in the shower. Do you not remember that from Biff?
Yes. No, I mean, like, the thing that people don't understand is, like, you guys were, like, and I won't say it was, like, family to us, but you were.
It was.
And we had the same people. And, you know, you were in our locker room. And, you know, it's a locker room. I mean, you're going to the shower. You're getting changed. You're getting, like, but you're so used to seeing the same faces that it didn't bother, like, you know, you were just part of the family. And I don't know if it's like that now, but it was so cool to be able to share that with even some of our other personnel people. That was such a family environment back then, and I think that's what made it that much more special.
Yeah, it was, like I said, I talk about it all the time. Biff, in case you don't know, was from the David Letterman show. And I remember you and I are talking. I turn around and Biff is interviewing Nate Webster in the shower. Then he walks out and we're still talking. And he goes, excuse me, who was that I just interviewed? And I'm like, you're in the shower talking to a naked man and you don't even know who he is. First, you shouldn't even be in there, but at least know who you're talking to.
Yeah, that was classic. I mean, there were so many different things of that. Like, I mean, I remember thinking afterwards, too, that we weren't going to get our stuff. You know, like, they were going to take our jerseys from us, and they were going to whatever. So, like, we had all the players, like, taking, like, the nameplate. I took my nameplate off my locker. I took my jersey and stuffed it in my own personal bag. I took my cleats. I took everything because I wasn't going to put it in my equipment bag because I didn't want to not get it back.
Sure.
So, like, my jersey that I have framed at home still has grass stains on it and everything. We never washed it. I mean, we literally pulled it out of my bag. It still got the dirt on it from the Super Bowl and put it up in the frame.
Do you talk much about the Super Bowl and your playing and all that as you're coaching your high school team? Or, I mean, they obviously know who you are. So do you use it or do you not use it?
I use it in bits and pieces. You don't want to overwhelm them with it because, you know, to them, sometimes it doesn't matter. But at times when you can tell a funny story or use an experience you had, I think the kids really relate to it because you've been through it. You've done it. You know, I'm not asking you as a player, as a high school player right now, to do something that I haven't already done. And when you let them know that, I think they see the genuineness in you and they want to respond for you as a coach.
Couple more quick questions from the audience before we run out of time. The biggest guy you ever had to play against?
Well, I would say, I don't know if it's the biggest, but I remember the story, you know, about Strahan, when Strahan was on his sack streak. And for whatever reason, when I was on punt team, they left Strahan and defense stay out on the field where they, you know, you'd be like in that 50-yard range where they don't know whether you're going to punt or going to maybe fake it. And they would rush him off the edge. And our special teams coach, who was crazy, you know, in the meeting goes, hey, Yoder, on the very first time they leave Strahan in, I want you to chop block him right in the knees. I want you to flip him upside down. And I was like, all right, no problem. And they're like, no, seriously, I want you the very first time. Because if you do it, it's going to send a message to them that we don't care who you are, even though, like, you know, and that some players might have thought it was a little dirty. You know, you're taking Strahan, you're going to hit him in the knees, you know, or whatever. And I was fine with it. So the very first punt, here it comes. Here comes Strahan. And I'm just looking at it like, all right, I got this. Chop block him. Boom. Flip him up. In mid-flip, as he's in the air, he screams something that I can't scream on the radio. And I was like, oh, goodness, this guy's going to land and kill me, right? I peel out running, and I was like the roadrunner. And he was like grabbing, chase, trying to grab me from behind. If he would have caught me, he would have probably killed me, you know? And then we get down the field, and he was so mad. And I just looked at him and said, if you rush it again, I'm going to do it to you again. He never rushed the pump the whole rest of the
night. That's awesome. So. That's a great. See, that's a new story. Yeah. See, that's a new one. Let's thank Todd Yoder for coming out and joining us tonight. Want to thank everybody for coming. We'll be back next week, same time. This is The Players Show.